This is the year 2026, and that means for me, this is my 20th year of serving Jesus, of following Jesus, and I'm so excited for what the Lord wants to do. I believe that what He's going to do now and moving forward is greater than what He has done until now. Amen? Because God is a God who takes us, as Paul says in Corinthians, He is a God who takes us from glory to glory. Amanda glowed it. Is anyone else? I'm going to say, God is a God who takes us from glory to glory. Amen. I know it's hot, but you can persevere. We're going to see great things. And what I want to tell you, the last 20 years of serving Jesus has been the most incredible. It's been the best decision of my life, but it's been the hardest. It's been the greatest journey, the most unbelievable thing. I've seen God do miracles, but it's also been the most challenging. It's been the most frustrating. It's been the hardest thing I've ever taken on. Anyone? And it's the scripture that I'm going to start off with tonight. Says that it's just, yeah, John 6 verse 66 to 69. At this point, if you read John 6, Jesus is preaching and He's sharing about life in the kingdom. And then I think just before this, He says, if you cannot drink my blood and eat my body, you can have no part of me. And at that point, many disciples said, uh-oh, hi, Gona. We cannot follow this man. This teaching is not what we want to hear. It's not pleasant. It's not comfortable. And it says that many disciples chose to turn around and to walk away from Jesus. And at this point, verse 66, many of His disciples turned away and deserted Him. Do you know that as a disciple of Jesus, you can turn around and walk away from Him? You can choose to turn away from Him. And don't you dare think that's not you, that it's not possible. Because Peter thought it's not possible. And Jesus' words to Peter was, before the crow crows three times, you will deny me three times. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? It's almost as if Jesus is making it harder. It's almost as if He's intentionally raising the bar of what it means to follow Him. And it's almost like on purpose, He's thinning the crowd. And He asks His disciples, many are deserting me. If you want to leave, now's a good time. And then Simon Peter says, Lord, actually, I'm paraphrasing what Peter says, but I think this is something along the lines what was going on. Lord, to be honest, I don't like what you are saying right now. I'm not enjoying being a follower of Jesus. This is not what I thought it would be. Yes, I actually would like to leave right now, but where shall I go? Because I've come to know that you are true. It says, you have the words that give eternal life. Where can I go? We believe and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. It's almost like Peter, in one sense, there is this wrestle in Peter and the disciples that, like all the rest of those people, what Jesus is saying right now is not what we want to hear. In some sense, I would like to leave right now, but I've come to know that you have the words of eternal life. I've come to know that you are the true King. I've come to know that you are the Holy One. So where shall I go if I desert you? Because I have nowhere to go. And I felt like that in my Christian life many times, that I felt many times my life would be easier if I just stopped following Jesus. Because following Jesus brings this wrestle in my life every single day. I wrestle between that what the Holy Spirit is doing in me and that what my own flesh, my own desires, my Christopher, what he wants. I want to be someone, if I can be honest just for a brief moment, it's not in my notes. I want to be someone that people look up to. I want to be someone that people see, wow, Christopher, he's significant. That's my flesh. And then this Holy Spirit in me is teaching me humility. So I have this wrestle in me every day. I like when we play games. I like winning. Who of you have played a game with me? I like winning. And sometimes I'm actually very good at winning. But sometimes I'm not so good. And I get miff. There's this wrestle. Do you know of the wrestle that I'm talking about? Do you know of the wrestle I'm talking about when I says sometimes being a Christian is the best, but it's the worst thing. And that's where the title of my message today is climbing. Ek weet nie of dit gaan werk. Peter, jy met my, saam met my, jy met my, kan jy dit vir my doen? Climbing Everest. Okay, just a disclaimer, I've never climbed Mount Everest. I've only read books about people who have climbed Mount Everest. And I want to say, and like an allegory, like a picture, the Christian life is like climbing Mount Everest. It's not easy. It's tough. It's risky. You can die doing it. It's costly. It's all those things. The first question I want to ask is, why would someone in real life decide, why does someone want to climb Mount Everest? Any takers? For the views, yes. Is warm. The challenge, jy is warm. But why does someone want... That is actually Mount Everest. Why does someone, what's significant, Kobus, about that little mountain there? For Instagram. Thank you. It's the highest reachable point that man can be. So that's why so many people climb Mount, or attempt to climb Mount Everest, because it's the highest point. I mean, you undertake the challenge because you want to be able to say, I've stood on the tallest mountain on the earth. If you're not doing, if that's not your reason and you do it, you're mad. Because that's the point of it. That's the purpose. Is you undertake this journey because you want to stand. It's a journey, I'll get to it now, but it's a journey that takes the average climber 6 to 9 weeks, and you get to spend at most 30 minutes. 30 minutes at the most you get to spend at the top. The Christian life is like climbing Everest. The reason why a person undertakes that mountain is because you want to be able to say, I've stood on the tallest mountain on the earth. Why do we want to be Christians? Why are we Christians? What's the goal of being a Christian? If climbing Everest is a picture of the Christian life, why are we choosing to go through with this thing that's called Christianity, following Jesus? It's hard, it's tough. We have to deny sin, we have to deny ourselves, we have to deny our flesh every day. It's a struggle, it's a battle. We struggle in prayer, we struggle with our Bibles. Why not just throw it off and let it all go? Let it go. The reason is because the goal of every Christian is to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. If that's not your goal and you're trying to do this Christian thing, I want to say you're crazy. Because That's the ultimate goal of what we are aiming for. We are aiming for an eternity with Christ. We are aiming for an eternity in heaven. We are aiming for an eternity in this place that is called the paradise. And that should be the goal of every Christian. The goal should be Matthew 25, 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much." And I want to emphasize this last sentence. I want to stand in front of Jesus one day, and I want him to say to me, "Christopher, enter the joy of your master. Enter the joy of your master." You see, the goal of climbing Everest is reaching the top. But did you know, in the real practical sense, why it takes 6 to 9 weeks? It's because you want to reach the top in such a condition that you are able to make the journey down and actually maybe post it on Instagram or tell your friends or your family about it. Because if you attempt this journey in the wrong way, you will perish. You will die. You will not make it. And so it takes such a long time in the physical reality. It takes so long because you want to reach it in such a condition that you are able to make it back down. And I want to say the Christian goal, yes, it's to make it to heaven, but not to make it, see, how can I just make it? No, that's not, the goal is to hear Jesus saying, "Enter the joy of your master." The goal is to have Jesus there cheering you on, saying, "Well done. I'm so happy. I'm so glad you make it." I don't want Jesus to say, "Yo, genade. Jy is hier, maar net net." Now I want to make it, and I want him to receive me in joy. You see, God, I've researched this. A helicopter has landed one. There's one instance in history that a helicopter has landed on the summit of Mount Everest as a test. But in general, it's not the air is too thin. It's actually not a possibility. The helicopter had less fuel. All the extra unnecessary weight and baggage was taken out. It was done as a test, but in general, a helicopter. But I want to say to you, with God, God is able right now, and we see that in Hebrews 11, that Enoch was no more. Who was the other person? Elijah. Is it Elijah wat opgegaan het, nee? So Enoch and Elijah, they are definitely the exception. But it's definitely possible that God can just come and take you. You don't have to die, and you don't have to go through this whole life and this whole journey. God can just come and take you. But we're not Enoch and we're not Elijah. So God allows us to undertake this long, slow, difficult, hard journey. Amen? I see a very hesitant amen. Why does God, this is my next question, why does God allow us to undertake this long and difficult journey? And I want to give you two reasons. The first reason is because God's purpose is to totally transform you into the image of Christ. God accomplishes transformation in your life by allowing you to go through this difficult journey up this mountain. He's producing himself in you when you go up the mountain. The second reason why God allows you to undertake this long, slow, difficult, hard journey is because God's purpose and intent is that through you, you will bring others on this journey and you will be a help to others to reach the summit of this mountain. So God's purpose, number one, for allowing you to go through this difficult journey, number one, is because he's forming Christ. He's forming the very image and nature of Jesus into your life. So whenever you go through something difficult this year, say thank you, Jesus. Because in that moment, God is shaping you. He's forming you. He's transforming you so that you would be more like Jesus. I want you to think right now. Think of something difficult that you've gone through in the last week or in the last month. Okay, just raise your hand by for yourself. Like if you see any manetsua, if you can think of something difficult that you've either had to go through in your heart or in your mind. Stick your hand up as you say. Okay, most of you have something difficult. Bless the rest of you. That thing, the purpose of why God allowed that thing is so that Jesus would be formed in and through you. Secondly, God's intent is for you to be an encouragement and a source of strength and a source of hope to other people. Say, come, we've got, we're almost there. Come, we're almost there. Kom klim saam met my hierdie berg. Come. And you know what? We will get in Everest, there are four camps. There's base camp, camp one, camp two, camp three, camp four. Five camps in total, I think. I might be wrong. Four or five. And do you know that at these camps, in the spiritual sense, we have Christians that have been sitting at base camp for too long? We have Christians that have been sitting at camp one too long. We have Christians that sitting at camp four, they are almost there, but they've become discouraged. They've lost hope of reaching the summit of the mountain. And it's my job and your job and our responsibility to encourage each other, to hug in and say, come, you've rested long enough. We're almost there. Let's go. So that's God's purpose for you, why He's allowing you to undertake this difficult and hard journey. So when you climb Everest, I want to say there's two things that you need, and I'm going to show you the spiritual side of that, and there's two realities that you're going to face. So firstly, let's deal with the things that you need. Number one is you need the help of a Sherpa. The Sherpa is a native Nepalese person or from the surrounding areas, and they are very good because they've been living at altitude, so their bodies and they have adapted to living in those conditions. That's why they are exceptional mountaineers. They are good at climbing the mountain because their body have adapted to living at such an altitude. A Sherpa is someone, so if you as a group go climb Everest, then you pay and you hire a Sherpa to help you because they know what they're doing. Their responsibility is to fix the ropes and the ladders, to carry oxygen, tents, and food to the different camps, to establish and to maintain those camps, to guide climbers during the summit push, and to perform rescues and if and when possible. Now, the Sherpa for me is a picture of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do the Christian life without the indwelling person presence of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let me tell you this. Your Bible alone, not good enough. You need your Bible. But the Bible without the Holy Spirit is dead. You need the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you cannot have the Holy Spirit inside of you if you are not born again. You have to be born again to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, He comes to see you through. Listen to this, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. It is to your, say this word with me, advantage. Say that this tot jou voordeel. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, say this one with me, the helper. Hoofletter H. Helper with a capital H. Holy Spirit will not come to you, but I will send Him to you. The Holy Spirit comes to us as a helper. There's a Sherpa Kamirita, Sherpa Kamirita, has summited Mount Everest 31 times. 31 times. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit has guided many Christians successfully through life. You and I are not the exception. The Holy Spirit knows what He is doing. If we allow Him to guide us, He will get us through all the way to the top. Amen? But here's the thing. I want to tell you three things about the Holy Spirit. First, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. You have to have a posture of submission. That means that the Holy Spirit is the person who's doing the leading and we are doing the following. In other words, we are postured to do what He says. We're going to follow Him. If He says left, then it means left and we have to follow left. We have to listen to His voice. We have to spend time with Him. We have to make time to spend time with Him. Because we cannot follow Him if we're not hearing His voice. And thirdly, we have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. This beginning of this year, I felt the Lord speak to me about, through the Holy Spirit in me, drop it in my spirit. I must stop Facebook. Or not delete it, but I must not be on Facebook. And I don't know for how long. And initially, I ignored Him, and I just realized that after a while, I've disobeyed Him. I've not been in a posture of submission. I've made myself the boss instead of Him, and that leads to just a greater sense of separation between me and God. I heard His voice. But I didn't trust His voice. I didn't obey Him. Now I have obeyed Him and I have trusted Him because He knows best. Because He's trying to get me to the top. So when He says to me, Christopher, leave Facebook, He's saying that to me because that's what's going to help me to get to the top. If He's saying to you, I want you to delete your Netflix, and you love your Netflix, you've got to listen to His voice and trust Him, whatever it is that He's saying. If He's saying to you, give away your laptop or whatever it is, He's saying that because He's guiding you to get to the summit. Amen? The second thing, so the first thing you need is a Sherpa. The second thing you need is a team. And the team that God has assigned to believers is the local church. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. And there's a statistic that says over 95% of successful summits on Mount Everest have been done in a guided team with Sherpa support. God has put a team in place for you to reach the summit. Amen? God het 'n span om jou gesit. I want to say we live in a dangerous time. The average person, maybe not in this room, but out there, the average person around us are committed Christians maybe. But I find more and more as I get to speak with Christians and meet Christians, more and more I find Christians are nominal when it comes to their commitment to the church. I want to ask you this. If you climb Everest in a team, do you want a team member who is serious about making the summit? Do you want a team member that is serious about having your back when you climb that mountain? This is climbing Everest, your life is on the line. This Christian journey is all about your eternal life is on the line. I want people around me that I know are as serious as me about making this thing. We need to make the summit. Amen? We live in a dangerous time where it's almost become the norm for people to be sort of loosely connected to the church. And I want to say that's not God's way. God's way is for us to be committed more than we are committed to anything else on this earth. More than what we are committed to hobbies. I mean, sport and recreation and camping. I love those things. And they are good things. But they become dangerous idols if they come in between, not just us and God, but if they come between us and the church. When you're climbing this mountain, you're dealing with your life. You're dealing with your eternity. Let's make sure in this congregation we are a people who are serious about getting each other to the top. And that means that we are committed to one another. And it's our responsibility. When someone's commitment wanes, it's our, say some of my aunts. It's our, not the pastor, not Christopher. It's our responsibility to say, hey, let's go. You've been sitting at base camp too long. You've been sitting at camp one too long. You are part of the team. We are taking you to the summit because we are making the summit together. We need a team. I want to read you two verses from Ephesians. Ephesians 3 verse 10. It says, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly place. God has chosen the church as his vehicle for Christians to reach the top. And when we do this in team, we reveal something of who God is to everyone out there. It's a testimony to the grace of God. And it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Dierwald and Philip, kom staan gou hierso. Just want to give you an illustration. Ek gou in, so. What does it mean to be submitted to one another out of reverence for Christ? Submission to one another means for me, I want to practically illustrate this. It means I can't go forward on my own. I have to say, guys, are we moving forward? Yes. Okay. We're moving forward together. Okay. I want to go this way. No, Dierwald wants to go that way. It's not going to work. So how this thing, dankie julle, how this thing the church works is there's a submission to one another as we recognize the person of Jesus inside of each other. I want to show you an example. If you get a new job opportunity next week, I want to encourage you, don't just make that decision by yourself. Because then you're not submitting to your fellow believers out of reverence for Christ. You've got to bring it to the body because you are part of the body. I'm not just talking about the elders and the leaders. I'm speaking about the body, everyone. There's a submission to one another, a posture of submission that we say, you know, I can't just move. I've got to, ek moet met die ou langs my praat. Are we moving together? Am I hearing God? Or do you think I'm crazy? Because sometimes we don't hear God. We think we hear God, but we don't. And we need the body to help us discern. Am I hearing God right? I think I've heard God, but I might be wrong. Can you guys pray with me and confirm with me that I've heard the Lord? Two realities that you will face when you climb Mount Everest. The first one is the journey is up and down and up. So it takes 6 to 9 weeks for a person to climb from base camp and to summit. And the journey in general goes like this. You go from base camp to camp one to camp two, back to camp one, back to base camp. And you do that several times. Then you go to camp two and camp two becomes base camp. And you go camp between camp two and camp three. And then you go all the way back down and then you go camp one, camp two, camp three, camp four, and you summit. Why? Why do you do this? Because you are acclimatizing your body to the thin air pressure. That's because you are way above sea level, so there's not a lot of air. So your body needs to adapt. If you just as an average person, you're gonna just go climb up the mountain, you're not gonna make it. Your body has to, and I want to say the Christian life is like that. We have we have setbacks. We have things that we take two steps and then we sin and we fall. And we have to get back up and we have to say, we're going to push on. We're going to push on. God puts his finger on something in your life. He says, Christopher, I want you to deal with this thing in your life. And you deal with it. And you're like, whew, I feel holy. I've conquered my sin. I'm like, yes, I'm on top of the world. And then God comes and he puts his finger on the next thing. 20 years I've walked with Jesus and I feel more aware of my sin and my shortcomings than I felt 20 years ago. Because God just goes deeper and because he's forming Christ in me. It's good news. Philippians 3 verse 13 says, brothers, I consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, and I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ, of reaching that summit. I press on. Don't get discouraged. When you fall, when you give into temptation, repent, turn back. So I'm going to climb this mountain. God has given me the Holy Spirit. He's given me a team. I'm not going to stay sitting here and looking at my fingers that's frostbite. And I don't feel like I'm going to get up and I'm going to get moving. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I want to encourage you, 2026. If last year was difficult and you feel like you've been stuck at base camp, now is the time to get up and to move forward in Christ. God is about to do an amazing thing in your life. You just need to get up. Lastly, the second reality that you need to face when you climb Mount Everest is what is called the death zone. 8,000 meters above sea level, you reach a zone that they call the death zone. This is the place on Mount Everest that people actually die. And it's not possible to remove the bodies. So if you climb Mount Everest, it's highly possible that you're going to be climbing past dead bodies that lay frozen. And they lay there almost as a warning and as a signal that you can't now back out. You've got to push through. At 8,000 meters above sea level, your oxygen supply is a third of what it's supposed to be. So basically, your body is shutting down and you are starting to die. And I want to use the picture that as a Christian, if you want to reach the summit, you have to die to yourself. You have to accept the fact that you are moving into a zone where the flesh cannot survive. And I think this is the point where most Christians, when Christians don't make it, it's because at this point they give up. It's at this point they say, it's too difficult to say no. I've got this idea for myself and for my life, and I'm not willing to let it go. If you want to make the summit, you'll have to deny yourself. You'll have to put an end to your flesh. John 3, verse 30 to 31. He must increase, I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. If you're going to climb Mount Everest as a normal person, your Sherpa is going to carry extra oxygen for when you reach 8,000 meters. They're going to put you on oxygen so that you can survive, so that you can take your selfie for Instagram on the top of the mountain. I want to say, if we want to make the summit, we're going to need the oxygen of heaven. We're going to need to deny the oxygen of our earthly selves. And we're going to say, you know what? I've got to die to myself. I've got to say, yes, to God. The conclusion I want to land with, who is going to make it? Are you going to make it? Gaan jy dit maak? Are you going to push through and make the summit of your Everest, of your Christian life? Are you going to make it? And I want to end off with Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Who will ascend? Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall ascend the Mount Everest of God? Who shall stand on the summit in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. I want to encourage you, I want to beg you today to get rid of the unnecessary weight and baggage, to say no to your sinful self and your selfish desires, to say no to your personality that doesn't want to embrace the next thing that God wants to do. Whatever it is, God is calling us to stand on the hill of the Lord. He's calling us into his holy place. He's calling you to come and reach the summit. This is the year of the Lord's favor for your life. And I want to call you, I want to urge you to put aside everything that hinders the life of God in your life. Everything. And say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. I'm going to reach the summit. By grace, I'm going to make it. There's many dangers. There's many struggles. There's many pitfalls. There's many setbacks. There are many things that's against me. But by the grace of God, I will keep on keeping on.